Support for this podcast is provided by Paradox, the conversational AI company helping global talent acquisition teams at Unilever, McDonald's, and CVS Health get recruiting work done faster. Let's face it, talent acquisition is full of boring administrative tasks that drag the hiring process down and create frustrating experiences for everyone. Paradox's AI assistant, Olivia, is shaking up that paradigm, automating things like applicant screening, interview scheduling, and candidate Q&A, so recruiters can spend more time with people, not software. Curious how Olivia can work for your team? Then visit paradox.ai to learn more.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi there, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 439 of the Recruiting Future podcast. Last week, I attended my first face-to-face HR and recruiting technology conference for 2.5 years. Unleash America took place in Las Vegas and was an incredible mix of great content and the opportunity to meet really innovative technology vendors in our space. One of the most interesting keynote sessions was a panel debate on the ethics and legal responsibility for using AI in recruiting. The panel was hosted by my fellow podcasters, Joel Cheeseman and Chad Sowash of the Chad and Cheese Show. So I caught up with them afterwards on the expo floor to find out more and get their views on the future of the industry. For anyone who's listening, it's happy hour at Unleash. Yes. They've run out of Corona, which is a serious issue.
Who does happy hour better, the Brits or the Americans?
Now that's a whole conversation.
Is that a whole conversation?
I think, yeah.
Matt always says that. Matt's like, I've got a podcast for that.
He's like, I don't have a podcast about happy hour, but maybe I should have one.
You should.
Happy hour with that British guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, we're here at Unleash. It's happy hour. Everyone's got a beer. Just watched an excellent panel with Chad and Cheese on stage talking to the US government, which is not something I expected to see. And we're currently sitting in front of their big, very pink sign. And they have their own little lounge area here. It's like, this is obviously what you...
It's the pod pit.
So guys, it's a pleasure to have you on this very impromptu show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Just invented.
Honor.
First question, live events, are they back? Oh. What do we think?
Dude, so Joel and I, earlier this month, were in Belgium for House of HRs, and we were astonished by the energy, not just from us, I mean, because Belgian beer, I mean, give me a break, right? But from everybody. We thought there'd be like 150 people. There were 400 plus. It was ecstatic. It was electric. And then we come in here today, and I thought Joel was going to faint because he was so excited to be back in like an expo hall.
Well, first, it's Vegas. And how can you not be a little excited to be in Vegas?
That's true.
But yes, the House of HR was more of a straight conference as opposed to an expo, which this is mostly expo with sessions sprinkled in. And if you've been to the Unleashed show in Paris, which I'm assuming some of your listeners have, you know sort of the energy. But yes, it's been 2+ years since I've walked into an expo hall. And in 2019, I would have said to myself, I hope I never see another expo hall in my life.
That's because we were on 20 stages.
Yeah,
that was my
I was
fault.
So was sick of expo halls and booths and magicians and f-ing mimes and whatever. Chad's right. We walked in and it was like aisle numbers, booths, the big ones in the front, the lights, the energy, the salespeople ready to pitch you their product. I was geeked.
He was
and
down.
I'm still geeked.
Absolutely.
And it's great to be back. I missed you, world.
Absolutely. I think it kind of really underlines, because we've been doing this virtually for a couple of years with Zoom and all the very good technology that people have invented to try and replicate this. But I think this really underlines just how important face-to-face is in terms of human interaction and meeting people and chance encounters and all that kind of stuff. So do you think that we are heading to a hybrid world in terms of events? What does that, is the online stuff staying or is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think
is it going?
I think we need to start looking at online as content because everybody's trying to do like live shows, and it's like, no, this is going to be like on demand. You should be recording this. It should be more Netflixy. It should be something that you can binge, you can go through, right? You can get your recruiters on or your staff on to actually watch. I think what we tried to do with online was just emulate what we did in the real world, and it's not the same. And I think we know that now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I was talking about the panel that you've just done, but it's such a fascinating topic. It was all about AI. You had someone from the US government on stage. It was very impressive. And someone running talent acquisition. So it was a great combination. Tell us about the panel. Why that topic? Why now? And what did you learn from doing it?
Well, for one, every freaking booth in the show has either AI in the name, in the booth, in the collateral pieces, or the PowerPoint that's in permanent rotation in the booth. So AI is on top of everyone's mind. It's on everyone's shopping list. And there are risks in buying AI in America as well as Europe. So we felt it was really important to say, look, AI is great. Everyone's touting it. Everyone's shouting it from the mountaintops. But let's be careful. Let's not discriminate. Let's have a big tent to let everybody in and make sure that technology isn't keeping people out. So what better guest to bring on the show than the commissioner of the EEOC to come on with us and talk about these issues and provide some clarity to questions that employers have these days.
And everybody is... They're slapping AI on everything from a platform standpoint, but they're also slapping DEI on every platform that's out there. So as Joel talks about bias, it's like, okay, let's talk about what could prospectively happen at scale, right? And to be able to have a practitioner and then also, you know, somebody from the EEOC. And Keith is not your normal government employee or spokesman. He literally wants to get out there and talk to the crowds about these prospective dangers, right? And provide guidance, and then also help them understand what enforcement looks like, which, you know, the carrot or the stick.
Did you see the keynote this morning, or were you busy?
Nope.
You're busy podcasting. So it was Mark Blythe, academic. I think he's a professor of international political economics or something like that. First of all, he was Scottish, and it's brilliant to see someone Scottish opening an American conference.
I sense a little bias in your love for this guy.
Report me to the EOC immediately. And he was very funny. But interestingly, he was really kind of underlining what's actually changed, what the pandemic has actually changed, what the next 10 years looks like for the industry. There was a positive message in terms of it being a massive opportunity for TA and HR. But as you would imagine, you know, lots of negatives, lots of challenges and things like that. And we find ourselves at such a sort of disruptive time with everything that's going on. And I know that you guys are sort of very close to the industry in terms of who you talk to and what you do. What do you think is going to happen? How is the world that we're going through now, you know, with wars and economic crisis and inflation and all these things, how's that affecting our industry and how's that going to shape the next few years? And it's not a small question, obviously.
Yeah, so, I mean, we
just
take a
short
look at...
question.
Now I don't have to think long on this one. Oh, my God.
Part, subdivided
Jesus.
By...
yeah, so, I mean... You take a look at the landscape today. We know that everything is bloated, it's inflated, and there's going to be some type of a pop, some type of a bubble burst, right? So I think this is incredibly important for employers right now to be able to take a look at automation so that, first and foremost, they're keeping their recruiters happy so that the recruiters aren't doing all this crazy administrivia, right? Allow the system and the process to do that, and then allow your recruiters to do what they really enjoy doing, which is working with people, right? And that's not what they've done for the past decade or so, right? So I think, you know, this is a great way for us to step into the age of automation and not say that it's going to take jobs, because everybody who says that, I think they're just fear-mongering, to be quite frank.
So Chad and I are really old, and we've been through two cycles. We've been through... You're a day older than me. Okay. So we've been through two of these, and this one is similar, but also very different. And I'll speak to what I think is different, because I think it's the most relevant. What's different is the number of diverse companies trying to solve a myriad of problems. So in 2008, when the world came to an end, everyone was mostly a job board or an ATS. And that was about it. Today we have so many different technologies, so many smaller companies that are more agile, companies that have raised a ton of money and can sort of outlast whatever the downturn is. What I think you're going to see is companies that do suffer, those are going to be eaten up by the apex predators and they'll be gone. The other thing that'll happen is if you're not best in breed, you're going to lose and you're either going to get gobbled up or go out of business. So if let's look at conversational AI for a second. And I'm famous on our show for calling Paradox the apex predator, right? So if you can't provide a conversational AI product on par with Paradox in this environment, you're going to lose because the buyer is now going to go with best of breed because they know they're going to be in business. They're going to survive the downturn. So what you're going to see at the end of this is companies that were strong today are going to be stronger at the end of it. Companies that are weak are going to be either gobbled up or disappear. Companies that have the money that can outlast it will obviously outlast it. And we'll, at the end of the day, we'll have a healthier environment of good companies that survive and should have survived and will thrive in the future. And the cycle will repeat itself. We'll have more a new technology come in and more startups and more money come into the space.
So I just want to kind of end by talking about your podcast, because there may be some people listening to this podcast who don't listen.
Oh, shut your mouth.
To the Chad and Cheese show. there may be. I say there may be. So look back over the last year or so. This is a horrible question to ask, because if someone asked me, it'd be really annoying. But who's been your favorite guest over the last 12 months? Or your favorite hard. Two guests, or your most interesting guest?
Over the last year.
That's hard. I got to look at our guests.
Chad's looking at the archives.
He can't remember who's had on. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we do 3 shows a week. So it's hard.
Something you wouldn't be familiar with, Matt.
I do T-shirts. Actually, do you know what? This week I'm doing 3 shows.
I'm trying to get you upset. Man.
Oh, I don't get upset.
He's always trying.
Yeah, I'm doing 3 shows this week. So
I mean, I'll make it easy and say Keith Sonderling, commissioner of the EOC, has been our best and favorite guest over the last year. That was a big get for us. So, and he's great. He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think, man, it's just a hard question. I think we've had a ton of amazing guests. The thing that we've tried to focus on is getting more females on. I think Cindy O. Young, who was just on.
She'd be my next stop. The CHRO of Robinhood was on the show.
She was amazing. Just much like you, Matt, we try our damnedest to get a lot of those voices that aren't being heard out there. And it's right now, you probably get as many as I do. I get like 10 to 20 requests a day, right? And those are generally not great speakers, right? So we spend a lot of time going out and looking for those individuals. And I think one like Cindy, we lucked out getting her.
Final question.
It's like picking your favorite child.
Yeah, I know. It was a really unfair question because people ask me that question and I can't, I can't answer it. So I thought I'd ask it to you just to get some kind of revenge on the universe.
it's a pretty lazy question.
So final question again, another lazy but difficult.
Oh, there's another final question.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Another lazy but difficult question. So presume you got in here yesterday, been here for a day, interesting show. What surprised you the most that you've seen today? What's the most surprising thing?
Really, to me, just how f***ing excited I was to be able to be back. And I mean, seriously, probably the first 2 hours, we did nothing but like greet people, listeners, friends. I mean, it was like a reunion. So it was like, to me, I knew that it was going to be exciting, right? I knew there was going to be some energy, but there was just so much more than I expected.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, our day mostly outside of the keynoting the final session was reconnecting with friends that we have not done so in 2 years.
Yeah.
So I'll echo my co-host sentiments that just the level of excitement, the attendance, the amount of money that vendors are putting into having nice booths and presentations, was great. I didn't know what to expect. We've been to Unleash in Paris, which is epic. The U.S. show is not on that level, although I think it's getting there. It's getting step by step closer to that.
Yeah.
So to have this in America, knowing what Unleash in Paris is and see that it's getting on par with what we see in Paris was really exciting for me.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the whole thing is really, really illustrates kind of how important these face-to-face shows are in terms of, you know, moving the industry forward, people making connections, and just some of the great conversations that we've had.
Amen.
Joel, Chad, thank you very much for talking to me.
We out.
We out.
My thanks to Chad and Cheese and everyone at Unleash. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow the show on Instagram. You can find us by searching for Recruiting Future. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list to get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I want to tell you about my podcast called Can I Offer You Some Feedback? I'm a business consultant and executive coach with over 20 years experience in change management, leadership development, and naturally providing feedback to high performers. My podcast is for those of you who have a complicated relationship with feedback, whether giving, receiving, avoiding, or seeking. Feedback is essential for our development. In each episode, you'll hear from real people across industries with their ideas, perspectives, and best practices on feedback. I'll also be sharing business bites with you, simple explanations of organizational tools, management techniques, and leadership philosophies that will help you and your businesses thrive. You can listen to Can I Offer You Some Feedback on your favorite podcast app or learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.